Hello, welcome to the Mazer Patrol podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Amanda.
And if things sound a little different, I'm not using my usual recording setup. In fact, my usual recording setup is a whopping 13 time zones away from me right now. I'm actually recording this from Osaka on a trip to Japan. I know it's a traditional, you're going to tell people about your vacation stories. That's the most boring thing ever, but people have been asking me to, so I will oblige. And I figure, hey, if Kyle Yount and Matt Frank and everybody else gets to tell their vacation stories on a podcast, why don't I? But I also have that feeling of like, hey, why are you asking me like what's cool to do in Japan? There are people who like actually live in Japan that you could talk to. So one of those people I have here with me.
Hey.
Yeah, so Amanda, you've been here, what, 3 years now?
3 years, yeah. First as a student, and then just, like, living here and working. It's been good. I don't like, actually make any claims as to being, like, a super good local tour guide or anything, but I know some stuff. I've been helping Kevin out a little bit.
Yeah, and I would recommend having a local guide if you're traveling around Japan, especially if you don't speak the language, because while there's a lot of stuff that is very tourist friendly and they do sort of bend over backwards for tourists in some ways and shapes and forms, it's not always, if you want to do every little thing, going to be immediately obvious. And sometimes you just need somebody to help you find your way around the subway, or else you'll be a fool like I was earlier in this week.
Oh man, you made it out of the station eventually, 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
At least nothing was on fire this time.
That's true. Yeah. That was my first trip to Japan. I got off at one of the train stations and it was in fact on fire. So I think that tops any other story that other people are going to come across. So for people who are heading to Japan for the first time, I've got to say, get yourself a Japan Rail Pass, because that will definitely save you on a lot of money if you're going to be taking the express trains, the Shinkansen, anywhere, because a rail pass will cost you about $200 a week. But if you go from Tokyo to Osaka, for an example, that's going to cost you about the same amount of money. So I would definitely say,
well, round trip anyways.
Yeah, do that, and you know, all the usual platitudes that you probably hear on any suggestion list, like, make sure you have your passport, make sure you have all your vaccinations, blah, 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 blah. I don't think we need to explain that, but instead we can just dive right into all of the cool, geeky things that we have been doing on this trip, as I've been here for 2 weeks now, and I've seen some stuff on previous trips, too. I'll bring that up as we get to it. But another thing I'll suggest for anybody who's going is look into what's going on in terms of exhibits or special events, because there's always something going on, especially in Tokyo. Tokyo is a crazy whirlwind of a place, and there's going to be all of these sort of limited time events that don't happen all year round, but maybe you just happen to be there at the same time, say Wonder Festival or something like that. This year we happen to be in Tokyo at the same time as Comic Market or Comiket. We didn't go this year. I've been there before. It is a huge, crowded venue, and it is hot in Japan in August. So our friend Nick Driscoll, who does articles on Toho Kingdom, he went. He was sort of messaging us as he was waiting in line there, watching ambulance after ambulance after ambulance coming and taking people away with heat stroke. And we just said, you know what? We don't need doujinshi that badly. So
you may have seen news articles about otaku being taken away in ambulances, still desperately trying to tell their friends which doujinshi to buy for them.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been fun to go, but it's also, you know, also if you have, like, anxiety about crowds, I've had friends that, you know, especially if they have claustrophobia or something like that, it can be a bad time. You know, through the grace of God, when I went, my friend and I just happened to be on the exact same wavelength, so we managed to meet each other again. But when we got off the train at the station, even though we showed up in the afternoon, it was so crowded we got split apart instantly, and we were sure we'd never see each other again. So yeah, Comic Cat is quite an event. Nick was telling us about it. He got to go. He met with one of Daichi Kazumine's assistants there that he knows, and he ran into Minoru Kawasaki just sort of on a fluke. So sounds like quite the event. But we were busy doing other stuff. So we went to a couple of gallery exhibits. We went to the Genju Shinwaten, which was sort of I don't remember exactly how they translated it. It was like cryptid art exhibition or something like that.
Yeah.
That one, I'm not sure. I wasn't totally feeling it. There were some neat stuff there. There's you know, some original pieces by Shinji Nishikawa and Junji Ito. There's also sort of a lot of like Eroguro stuff that we were sort of I don't know about this. It was sort of funny that they had some really explicit obscene art on the wall, but they, because it's Japan and they're, you know, they have concerns about depictions of genitalia, they'd had like little post-it notes over them.
Yeah, and it says something like Area 51 inspector, like no entry or something, with like a guy's face on it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, so that was amusing. And then while we were in the same area, we swung by Shinji Nishikawa's exhibit. He was doing a piece displaying a bunch of his concept art for SSSS.Gridman and some of his Ultraman work and his various manga. He's got a new one out based on Daikaiju Rush, you know, the one with the Ultraman aliens that are all hunting monsters. So that was neat. You know, it was a free exhibit in a gallery that was not too far away from Comic Cat. And we just sort of went and we walked around for a little bit. And then Nishikawa himself shows up. And it was great because we got to meet with him. And because we were foreigners, he was nice enough to draw little doodles on some of the comics that we bought from him. So,
yeah, he was super, super nice. I don't know, I thought it was, like, kind of adorable when he walked in, and just, like, the face he made when he was, like, being escorted over to the table where he was supposed to, like, do signing and do, like, art for people and stuff. He's just like, man, all these people are here for me. Like, he just seemed like a very shy, sort of, like, nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
He was pretty cool.
Totally. And I'm sure some people in the States have gotten to meet him. I mean, as we were there, he was like, oh, I'm going to be at Japan World Heroes. And we were like, oh, we're not going to be there because we're in Japan. So, so yeah, that was one day of exhibits, but there are quite a handful of other ones. We went to an Attack on Titan exhibit in Roppongi. We've got, there was, I guess it was the final because the manga's ending soon. So they had a big exhibit with lots of art on the walls, you know, original artwork from the manga. So it was fun just to go and sort of look at how Isayama used his inks and pencils and whiteout and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you pointed out the whiteout a lot. Yeah.
Well, it's fun just to figure out what sort of techniques go into making it, because it's not always obvious on the finished scanned manga page, but you can see it really well on the raw artwork. And there's a little bit of a show that they had. It wasn't too fancy, but they had a little movie that played for us there. They had here's some noises. We walked through a dark hallway and it played noises of what the ending of the manga is going to be, but it was just sort of sound effects, so we didn't know what it means.
Yeah, it's just like random sound effects and some, like, a woman saying Aaron, which is like, you know, 95% of the show anyways.
Yeah. You know, one thing that, I don't know, maybe I'm just slow, but I was my mind was a little bit blown when I discovered that the title of the show, the Shingeki no Kyojin, is actually a character name. I had not put it together that the Eren Titan is called the Attack Titan, and that's what the manga is named after.
Which, as you pointed out, makes the translation Attack on Titan even worse than we thought it was.
Yeah, I guess Attack on is the prefix there.
Not really sure how that on got in there, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, like a... They could have called the other one like the Armor on Titan or something. At any rate, That was a neat thing to go to. It was up on the very top of a huge tower, but we didn't actually the gallery space is up there, but it didn't take much advantage of it. So you know, there weren't any windows to look out or anything like that in the exhibit hall. We just sort of happened to see that in the cafe that's right outside of it.
Yeah, they were doing a themed cafe at the exhibit too, but unfortunately the line was super long and we were basically dying of heat stroke, so we didn't get to do that. But it looked pretty cool. So
yeah, have we mentioned that Japan is hot in the summertime, but make sure you have your Pocari sweat on you and you got plenty to hydrate with. And this was not the last time that we were at an Attack on Titan exhibit and I was dying of thirst. So I guess we can jump ahead a little bit and go to the other one while we're on that topic.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, so we went to Universal Studios in Osaka, and they had another Attack on Titan the Reel. Is that what
it's
called?
Yeah, Attack on Titan the Reel. So I guess they just have a real thing for like Attack on Titan shows having the word "the" in them. So
this was a live stage show for part of it, and then they played anime on screens behind it, and they sort of it was a hybrid. So you know, if you've been to like the Terminator ride at Universal in the States, it's a similar sort of deal where you have you know, the Titans are done somewhat in animation, and then also somewhat in, they had Suitmation Titans come out onto stage, and those were a lot of fun. I enjoyed the Titan suits. And then they had you know, steam, and they moved the seats around and projected things on screens, and then the main cast of characters from Attack on Titan just show up in their anime forms. I don't know if they didn't have stage actors for them or what, but there was a little bit of human stage actors also going on. So it was
like some sword fighting stuff. So
it was suitably epic and climactic, and the people who are caught up on Attack on Titan will sort of know about the defeats of the main, you know, sort of group of antagonist monsters in that. But you know, potential spoilers, I guess, for those who aren't. That was part of the giant Cool Japan exhibit that they have at Universal during the summertime. So there's also Sailor Moon and Detective Conan, and some other stuff I don't recall off the top of my head.
I don't know, they were doing Final Fantasy before, but that ended a while back, I think.
Yeah,
so it rotates every once in a while, but it's kind of neat. So
yeah, but the, you know, the thing that I was most excited for at Universal was of course the 40 Godzilla versus Evangelion ride. So that was a hoot. It was unfortunately not a permanent ride. It was just sort of something over the summer. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the Kiryu in Evangelion style popcorn buckets and the what everybody's calling the Shin Ghidorah figure. They don't call it Shin Ghidorah. They don't even actually call it Ghidorah. We know it's Ghidorah.
As opposed to like him being like, oh, that's not a person, that's Godzilla.
yeah. So yeah, and basically the ride is it's set in Osaka 3 as opposed to Tokyo 3, and they sort of do a little bit of a combination of the Evangelion world and the Godzilla world, where the second impact has destroyed Tokyo, so they move the capital to Osaka, and we go through the new Osaka, which has a lot of Jet Jaguar stuff all over it. It's pretty great. I guess in that world, Jet Jaguar is like a superhero movie character that shows up a lot. So there's posters for the Jet Jaguar film.
It would have made me happy if they like ironically put up the same like Jet Jaguar billboard like on the actual Ebisu Bridge in Osaka.
That would have been delightful.
Yeah.
I think people would have lost their minds in the wrong way. But yeah, so you're on the ride, and Misato is telling us about how you're gonna be traveling as delegates on this special plane, and then Godzilla shows up in Osaka, so they mobilize the Evangelion units, and Shinji, Rei, and Asuka all fight against Godzilla for a little bit, and at some point, Gendo jumps in to be like, oh, that's not an angel, that's just Godzilla. And then that's the only explanation that we get. So is Godzilla something everyone is aware of in this timeline? But apparently not instantly recognizable. Anyway, they're fighting Godzilla for a little bit. Godzilla shoots his beam into space, and then Ghidorah comes down. So there's all sorts of little things as you're going in, talking about how there's been evidence of extraterrestrial life and how a UN spaceship satellite was destroyed by some unknown thing out in space, and apparently that's Ghidorah. And
also something about, like, unusual lightning patterns and yada yada.
Yeah. Sorry. So then our Evangelion and Godzilla team up to fight against Ghidorah, and it's just glorious. Just the ride itself, it's so much fun. It's more fun than I had watching King of the Monsters or Shin Godzilla or even like Kong Skull Island. It's probably the most fun I've had since Pacific Rim in a theater. You know, the seats, because this is a 4D experience, the seats move around, they blow air at you, they flash lights off to the side, and there's water that comes down. So it's great, you know, when you're in this first person perspective being slammed through a building, and as rubble's coming down on the screen, you get water splashing in your face a little bit. And man, I was laughing out loud, so to speak. Lots of other good stuff. Ghidorah uses his gravity powers. He makes buildings fly around. These beams are sort of a reddish color as opposed to the regular yellowish. He slithers around Godzilla and sort of wraps him up like a snake, which if you look at this design, he's got a lot more tail to him than some of the other ones too. And that's sort of how that works out. Good stuff from the Evangelion side. You know, with the buildings flying through the air, you get Asuka doing sort of a handstand and spinning around, kicking buildings out of the way. You've got Shinji running up Godzilla's tail to make a jump to stab Ghidorah in the chest. it's really a hoot, and hopefully this comes to home video or something someday, because you know, a limited theme park run is just not enough to do this whole thing justice, because it was you know, we went on it twice and it was pretty delightful.
Yeah, and for anyone not aware, it actually ends tomorrow, the 25th of August. So, unfortunately, unless you are already in Japan at the time we're saying this, it's probably too late.
Yeah, so sorry about that. But again, hopefully they make it available. Maybe it'll come back someday, or they'll make a sequel. I'm hoping they make a booklet or something just to cover all of the concept art, because there's a lot of neat stuff that's in there. And hey, like, we got Monster Planet of Godzilla on DVD as a special feature at one point, so maybe this at some point down the road, or you know, fingers crossed, they make an actual Godzilla versus Evangelion OVA or something. That would be delightful. So aside from that, we didn't do a whole lot of Japan exclusive stuff at Universal. We went to the Harry Potter section, which is, as far as I understand, a lot like the one that they have in Orlando, but I'll defer to Amanda in terms of...
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly the same as the one they have at Orlando, just, like, it doesn't have the newer area that you can get to by the train at the Orlando one that's, like, in the other park. And I guess it might be a little smaller, but it's really similar. But it was a lot of fun. Kevin was a good sport. And then, of course, we went back and went on the Godzilla vs. Evangelion ride again, so...
Yeah, no, yeah,
we made up for that.
Oh, you were really happy at Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, so. I was having a blast.
Yeah, Harry Potter is very popular in Japan, for those that don't know. I mean, it was actually the reason why Hurricanger was named Hurricanger, was because Harry Potter was so big, so they wanted something that starts with Harry.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of...
Yeah, and then Magiranger is, of course, just sort of a big Harry Potter like thing where they're all mages and ride on brooms and whatnot. So
I do feel like, I don't know, a good 85% of the light novels coming out lately like feature wizards or witches or something. So
yeah,
definitely kind of a boom going on.
Yeah.
Not quite on the level of like the isekai boom, but, you know.
Well, there's a lot of crossover between those as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, it makes sense. Although I was surprised also at, you know, Universal in Osaka, it was mostly non-Japanese tourists that we saw there. There were a lot of people from other Asian countries. You know, there were definitely some Japanese people, but I was hearing a lot of Chinese and Korean from the sort of chatter around us. So I think it's, you know, the popular hotspot for across all of Asia. If you're going to go to a Universal theme park, it makes more sense to go there than to fly to Los Angeles or Orlando or something.
Although I guess there is this Singapore location, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So, so yeah, that's Universal. We went to another live stage show that was a lot of fun, though. We went to the Ultraman Festival, and that's a summer event that sort of goes on for a number of weeks. And it's not just a stage show, but the stage show, I think, is definitely the highlight of the festival. You know, for the festival itself, they have a lot of merchandise, they have special food, they have many, many, many Ultraman suits on display. And not just the suits, they have them set up in elaborate dioramas where you can take photos with the monsters and the heroes. And they have all sorts of models out, which I think is great, just to look at those tokusatsu models and the miniatures work that goes into them. You know, and they have props from the shows and, you know, all of the henshin devices. They have various costumes from various attack team members and things like that. And a huge room with lots and lots of merchandise. But again, the stage show, that is an absolute delight. So would recommend, if you happen to be in Japan at the same time as an Ultraman festival, going just to check out the stage show. Because I was surprised at the number of characters that they managed to squeeze into it. At first, I thought that it was just, you know, the same half a dozen or so suit actors coming out in different costumes over and over. But towards the end, they managed to get them all on the stage at the same time. And it was a lot of fun. This year, they had a strong family theme going on. So you had sort of teams split up of, you had the Ultra Mother and Ultra Father with Taro and Taro's son, Taiga, because Taiga's the new hot show. Also makes sense. You had Ultraman Zero and Ultra Seven and their sort of, you know, standoffish father-son relationship. And then your other heroes in Ultraman Taiga, you had Fuma and Orb together. You had Titus and Jonius, which I thought it was great to see Jonius in a stage show, because, you know, it's a character that I think has been far too ignored for too long. And then, of course, you had last year's heroes, who were also a family unit of the Rube crew with Rosso Blue and Grigio. So, and they were a lot of fun, you know, especially Grigio being all like happy and things like that. Yeah. lots of fun effects. You know, she had booby traps of like a boxing glove that came out and punched a monster, or a giant anvil that falls from the rafters onto them. They had fun effects like Fuma splitting into three ninjas or something, just being in front of a screen. They managed to pull that off pretty well for a stage show. And then they had lots of fun stuff with audience involvement. I think the whole, you know, clap for Tinkerbell sort of moments they had. They would bring kids from the audience and have them, you know, help the Ultraman out and things like that. So it was really charming to go to and see those sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm not nearly as big of an Ultraman fan as Kevin is, because few people are. But I also had a blast. And I would say, like, even if you only slightly like Ultraman, you should still definitely check out the Ultraman Festival. Like, it's just that intense. There's a lot to do. They have different ice cream flavors themed after, like, every Ultraman ever. Like, it's an extreme experience. We went to, like, the Ultraman store later on in our trip. And it was, like, I don't know, like, it was nothing compared to, like, the level of merchandise they had at the festival. So we were just like, oh man, we already bought everything we could ever need. Nothing can compare. So really do check it out. It's usually going on every summer, like July to August sort of thing. And they kind of like rotate where they do the venue, but you can usually find it online. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, so the official Ultraman stores. I think it's great if you just happen to be passing through Tokyo and there's nothing else going on, but yeah, it was a little underwhelming compared to the actual festival. Similarly, like, the official Godzilla store has gotten a lot of hullabaloo. I was a little surprised when we went there that it was sort of like a corner of a larger department store.
Yeah, they don't actually have their own building, which I was really shocked by, because they have a really, like, extensive web storefront, you know? Like, if you go on their website, like, there's a lot of merchandise you can order. But if you go into the actual physical location, it's just, like, teeny tiny, you know? So there's not actually very much there. Like, so I would say, like, if you're already in Tokyo, I mean, you might as well go check it out, but don't, like, go on a massive pilgrimage with the goal of going only there and nowhere else, because you'll probably be disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Shinjuku. If you're, I mean, especially if you're already going to check out the Shinjuku Grocery, where that's the hotel that has the Godzilla head on the top. We stayed there for a couple days this time. We've been there before to check out their Godzilla room, which is fantastic, but you can only stay there one night, and it's on the expensive side, so.
It's definitely worth it. I don't know if they've improved this or not, but when we stayed there, like, for some reason, if you wanted to book it online, the English version of their webpage was, like, not working correctly, so we could only book it in Japanese. So if you have that kind of problem, that may be what's going on. So try the Japanese page plus Google Translate if you don't speak Japanese, and maybe you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing to do once, I think. You don't need to do it more than once.
Yeah, well, there are two rooms. Like, there's the one we stayed in, and then there's, like, another one that's, like, situated so the head is, like, right outside it or something.
Yeah.
But I think the one we stayed in is probably the cooler one.
Yeah.
It's got, like, the...
Yeah, we stayed in the top floor, and they had the Godzilla hand coming through the wall. And
they have, like, a rotating display case in there where they, like, move stuff around. So the Oxygen Destroyer was there when we were there, right? It was before, and then there was, like, the Godzilla head with, like, the...
Yeah, it was the Godzilla head animatronic from Godzilla vs. Destroyer when we were there.
Right, yeah.
Which we got to see again this year. Because we went up to Fukushima to the Eiji Tsuburaya Museum, and that happened to be on display there. So the Tsuburaya Museum, it's a little ways out of town. So if plan to make a day trip of it, you're gonna have to get a Shinkansen ticket to go up to the northern part of Japan for it if you're gonna be going. And you know, it's not an entire dedicated building. It's just sort of two rooms within the community center, sort of, that Tsuburaya was born in that town. But it's a neat thing to go and see. So they had the two rooms, they had a number of props, and mostly it was books. It was sort of like being in a library, like a library display. So, I mean, that was fantastic for me, because I got to look through all of these books. You know, usually in Japanese bookstores, everything is shrink-wrapped, so you can't really browse and know exactly what you're getting before you do. So it was fun to just go through some of these expensive books that I've seen in stores and didn't know exactly what was in them and didn't want to, you know, gamble on buying a $60 book until I had a chance to open it up. But aside from that, they had a display of the big pool at Toho, which is really, it's pretty mind-blowing to think of how large that set was for all of their water scenes and how they were able to film naval battles and things against this giant backdrop. And then the other thing is, I'm sure there's been some word about this. Kyle described it on KaijuCast, is that they had a short movie that was made just for that exhibit, you know, using all practical special effects. They had that Godzilla costume on display at the museum as well. And this short movie was, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes long or something.
5-10 minutes, I would say.
And they just have it, you know, in one of the corners. It's sort of playing on loop. The seats aren't very comfortable to sit in to watch it, but, you know, we still stayed there and watched it a couple of times. And it's just a neat thing of the 54 Godzilla costume coming and attacking the city that we're in. And then you see some Mazer tanks come out and they shoot beams at Godzilla. Godzilla shoots beams back, and then he walks off. And then you can they play it intermittently. So they play the movie, then they play the making of, then they play the movie, then they make the making of. It's cool. I think you get a lot of the same sort of feeling of it from the Boss Coffee commercial that has Haru Nakajima. You know, I think it's a special treat for fans of that sort of special effects. But I don't know if, you know, I don't know if you could make a whole movie that looked like that. You know, I think it's, as much as we like, you know, the miniatures and suits and things like that, I don't think that that's gonna, as it is, be competitive with the big blockbuster CGI that we have today. So was that the impression you got as well?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a cute little film. They used a lot of people from the local area, you know, like fleeing from Godzilla and all that. So it was kind of like there was a scene where it was like an elementary school and all the kids were running away. But, you know, it's just like local kids, you know, so it's like a lot of smiling kids, yeah, instead, yeah, of like, totally, you know, like screaming or anything. They were clearly having a good time. Yeah. So.
But, you know, that's like I said, it's part of a community center. So it makes sense that you have that sort of local experience going on there. And then while we were there, they were also doing a special Ultraman exhibit that was not part of the museum, but we got to go in and see, you know, a handful more suits. They had a big life-size blow up of Gomora that was fun to stand against, and you could sort of pose and get photos in ways that made it look like you're shooting beams and stuff like that. And then a little nice tribute to Tsuburaya himself with a standee in the background that was sort of a like his silhouette, and a couple of displays that showed how special effects were made. So, you know, they had the Ultraman on a sort of rail thing sort of coming at the camera, so you could control the model coming at him, and it shows on a screen that it looks like he's growing. Or, you know, they have a scrolling mat on the background and the model in front of it, so you can film that and make it look like he's flying, things like that. So those are neat. And they didn't actually have them at the Ultraman Festival, but I like that those, I mean, that's really in the spirit of the special effects themselves. So it was appropriate that they'd be, you know, where Tsuburaya's museum is. So yeah, I think that was a fun outing.
Yeah, it was. And also, do note that if you go up to the museum, they have various Ultraman statues leading up to the museum on both sides of the road. So definitely check those out. There's like a little map along the way if you're like walking up there from the station that shows you where they're all located. They've got like Pigmon on a bench and like, I don't know, like Ultra Mother and various other Ultramans. And I can't even remember who all was there, but... But yeah, those are definitely cool too, so don't miss them.
Yeah, so there is a bus that goes back and forth, but if you can, walk.
It's only like 15, 20 minutes, so yeah, it's not really that far.
Yeah, I'd say only if it's raining, maybe take the bus, or in our case, I actually managed to injure myself, so we'd walked up there, but I got a little too ambitious posing. I'd previously broken my toe, and it was not a happy time, so we wound up taking the cab back.
We saw most of them.
Yeah, yeah. I guess speaking of going a little out of the way to museums of famous artists who were later deified, we also went up to Takarazuka today to see the Osamu Tezuka Museum, dedicated to all of his manga. It's its own dedicated building, this one is, and it's three stories, but it's not as big as you might think from here, in that it's a three-story building. But that was another, like, I think it's good, especially if you don't know a whole lot about Tezuka, just to go through and sort of get his history. Odds are you will learn something even if you have not. And, you know, just going through, I thought that there was a lot of neat little factoids. You know, some of them slipped my mind, but, you know, just a lot of stuff about, like, the connections between the local in Takarazuka. There's a special theater troupe that it's all female performers, and it's been going for 105 years now, and seeing what an influence that was on Tezuka, you know, I'd heard about this before, but there's a lot of connections that I didn't particularly make, you know, with his star system, where he had certain characters show up in multiple manga, and how that directly connects to the theater culture that was where he was growing up. Things like that. Pretty neat. And they had a lot of his old manga on display, and they had a special screening room where they played some of his short experimental movies. You can get those shorts on DVD in the States, so don't go just for those shorts, but it's fun to go and check that out. Down in the bottom floor, they have a lot of anime-related stuff, just in terms of the process of making animation. We didn't get to check that out too closely because we were a little short on time. And then the top floor is a revolving display of different artists who come in and do exhibitions there. So it's a neat little nook overall, and lots of statues of the iconic characters, and they also have a full library of Tezuka's works where you can go and read, again, all in Japanese. So that's something you got to be cognizant of, is that the museum is very English friendly, but it is still, you know, intended for Japanese audiences.
Yeah, the translation is like not perfect, mm-hmm. but you know, it's understandable. So yeah. Don't be afraid to go even if you don't speak Japanese. And it's a cute building. Like there's some fun statues outside, and it's really neat. It's not too far outside of Osaka city proper. We were like coming from a bit south of like Osaka station, really, so it took us about an hour to get up there. But it's a nice little day trip, so I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, big statue of Phoenix outside. They have sort of like a walk of fame with all of Tezuka's most famous characters have their handprints in the cement. Some of them are, you know, they have a lot of fun with them. So like Dr. Ochanomizu has his handprints, but also his nose print, because he's got this big bulbous nose that when he bent down, he would have hit the cement with. You get the hoof prints of Yudiko, or like the paw prints of Kimba the White Lion, and the giant handprints of Ambassador Magma, or I guess Goldar as he's known in the States. It's a fun, I think on multiple levels. I think if you're a hardcore fan, you're going to go and recognize some stuff. And if you're a newbie, you can go and sort of get a little bit of a crash course. And with Tezuka gaining more popularity in the States in the past decade or so, I think it makes sense that they are a little English friendly there, and that they sort of cater to Western audiences as well. So I'm glad that they have it. So I guess next order of business. Another attraction that we went a little bit out of the way for is in Kawasaki. We went to the Kaiju Sakaba. It's the monster bar from it's a theme restaurant based around the enemy monsters from Ultraman, and that place is fantastic. There is one in Shinbashi in Tokyo. I like the one in Kawasaki a lot more. I think they have a better selection of food there, and I think that the venue is a little bit bigger, so you're not going to have as much of a wait time to get in. And I also think that the wait staff is a little friendlier. So
The one in Shinbashi is like, I don't know, they were like a little brusque, and the food isn't as cool, and I don't know, but like I do like the interior design. So if you're a big Ultraman fan, I would still say yeah, go ahead and check it out. But if you want like the proper Kaiju Sakaba experience, you got to get yourself out to the one in Kawasaki, because that's where it's at.
Yeah. So we went to both on this trip. By the time we were able to get into the one on Shinbashi, they didn't have the guys walking around in monster costumes anymore. But the one in Kawasaki, we went earlier in the day, and we sure enough got a little FaceTime with the guy in the Gudon costume. Yeah, and they have, you know, lots of neat stuff on the menu. So, for an example, Amanda got a loaf of bread that's supposed to be the Science Patrol headquarters, and you can destroy the Science Patrol headquarters by eating that loaf of bread and getting to the cheese and meat and potatoes and whatnot that are inside.
Yeah, and it had, like, the Science Patrol logo on the top of it, made out of cheese. It was very silly.
Yeah. In the past, we've gotten... for an example, sausage links that are shaped like Nars, or the Birdon special is great because it's chicken, but they cook it with a little flamethrower thing in front of you, but the flamethrower has Birdon's head on it, so it's like he's breathing fire to cook your meat in front of you. So Kaiju Sakuba is a fantastic time, and it's pretty reasonable. It's not expensive food, and there is a punch card system, so if you go there a lot of times, then you get something.
Yeah, we got Voltan's business card this time, I guess. Yeah, they started charging a table charge recently at both Kaiju Sakuba locations, so I guess be aware of that, because they didn't used to. So you have to pay like 650 yen or something like that just for coming in and sitting down. But that's not that atypical for Japan. And we got like little like kaiju hand towels as like a freebie thing.
Yeah.
Table charge thing. So
yeah, in the past we've gotten coasters and we've gotten little chopstick dishes
before. Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
You'll always come away with some souvenirs. And on top of that, they have a fairly extensive gift shop. So you can get t-shirts of either the bar itself or the monsters, and they have special special figurines that are just of the bar. You know, they have a little gimmick where when you're first walking in, you have to put your hand into this mouth of a statue of Jamila. So it's like tell if you're worthy. If you are actually a secret superhero, they'll judge you and they won't let you in. So. And I've heard, we've never been rejected, but I've heard from some people that happened, so. Although, if you go in wearing an Ultraman t-shirt, they will chew you out, so,
Yeah, when we went in this time, it was really cute, because there was, like, a little boy in front of us with his dad, he was, what, like, 4, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And he was wearing a shirt with Ultraman on it, and, like, the staff lady was like, oh no, we can't have superheroes in here, but it had, like, monsters on it, she's like, oh. Yes, that's all right. So they're really friendly. They'll joke around with you.
Yeah. We were sitting in a sort of a communal sort of room. And sometimes you have your own booth, but this time we were in a room with some other families, and there were some very excited kids running around in there. So it was quite a hoot. There is another tokusatsu themed bar that we went to, just called the Tokusatsu Bar, and this is a little out of the way place. It's super tiny but very communal, and exclusively, like, very, very only in Japanese. So if you don't speak the language, I wouldn't recommend going there. But
also be aware it's in like the skeeziest neighborhood in Tokyo, so if you're like female, maybe don't walk around there at night by yourself.
Yeah, yeah, it's literally 2 floors up from a brothel, but I'm sorry, a massage parlor. I wouldn't want to cast aspersions.
Yeah, it's like right by Golden Guy. So
yeah, so we didn't know quite what we were getting into as we were going up there, but I'm glad that we went, because it felt like going to somebody's like college clubhouse. Because there were maybe only like 3 or 4 tables in the whole place, and they were, you know, small, like 2-person tables, but it was just completely decked out. They had manga all over the place. They had big figures on the wall that, like, the people that were eating there could just take figures down and play with them. they had special cocktails where they didn't have a proper menu, so to speak. It was just sort of like, she's like, name a character, and I said Metalder, and Amanda, you said Biollante, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they made delicious cocktails just based on these characters that we, you know, completely extemporaneously.
Yeah, the Biollante one was like lime flavored and green and very tasty.
Yeah. And they play stuff on the screens in there, so, you know, you can just go and sort of watch the shows that they're playing. But I think it's really a place just to go and hang out and chat with fellow fans. And, you know, there were a couple of different groups of fans that came through while we were there. But the thing that blew my mind is we just happened to be sitting there, and in walks this group of people. And I sort of did a double take, and it was like, no, I couldn't be. But yeah, sure enough, we ran into a Kiyotaka Taguchi in this bar. So I won't say that that'll happen every time you're there, but
kind of seemed like he was a regular.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty neat. Along with a handful of other people, we met another filmmaker there. I'll be talking about some of his work in the future on the blog, because he sent us a preview copy. So, but yeah, again, it's not really a gaijin joint. If you have a local Japanese speaking guide, maybe go check it out. Otherwise, you know, be aware it's small and out of the way, and it might be awkward if you can't really chat with them. But they're super nice there. Like
they're so friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like all of the staff except like the guy who seemed like he was the owner that was there, they were all like female, which I guess mm-hmm. is kind of what you expect when you go to a bar in Japan, to be frank. But like they were all like genuinely unabashedly huge kaiju fans. Like one of them was telling us how she like was she like skipping her job or skipping school to like be an extra on the set of Shin Godzilla.
Yeah
And how she had to like run back and forth, like she was running for her life over and over again so they could do like 5 takes of it, and, like she like thought she was gonna die.
Yeah, it was, and she was so she it seemed like she liked everything, you know. She was, you know, we had a long talk about the Godzilla anime, which I know is not the most popular thing in the world, but she got really giddy talking about how her first movie was Mothra 2, and Mothra 2 is not one of the more popular ones. So.
Oh man, yeah, we had some great conversations, and like we were talking about like Kamen Rider and stuff too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And like I can't remember which of the staff it was, but that one girl was like talking about how much she loved Kamen Rider and Tokusatsu as a little kid, and like the one other guy that we were sitting next to, he's like, "Oh, so you didn't have any friends?" And she was like, "No. I just pretended to be normal around them."
Yeah, that was great.
So yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, so that absolutely a hoot of a time. So I'm glad we made it up there. I guess other exhibits. We went to the one in Odaiba right before that. The Worlds. What was it called?
Oh, we went to the Team Lab Borderless exhibit.
Yeah.
I'd been to the Planets one previously with a friend, and I really enjoyed the Planets one. Like there was a part where you like walk through like water, and like there's a bunch of like cool stuff, like I don't know, like fish and stuff are like broadcast all over, and like there's a part where you like have to like climb through like giant rubber balls, and like I don't know, it's just like it's really interesting, like modern art interactive exhibit sort of thing. You can take some fun photos. We actually didn't have a great time at the Borderless one, unfortunately, because it was just insanely crowded. There were so many people. There's like 30-minute plus lines to get into all the most popular rooms. So we kind of just like gave up partway through and left. But I guess if you go maybe when it's like a less popular time for people to be on vacation, you'll probably have a better time. But it's kind of neat if you're into like modern art or taking weird photos of yourself. Kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, lots of cool exhibits. The art on the walls, you know, lots of projections of moving like creatures and things. Some of it was interactive, where I think it was supposed to be, where if you touched it, they would react to you, things like that. Again, I think it would have been fantastic if it wasn't quite as crowded as it was, because you know it's supposed to be like you can wander and do things, but instead it was sort of you wait in line and you can only go in one direction and stuff like that. That same day we went to the Warehouse arcade in Kawasaki.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you're interested in arcades or horror and you're already out in Kawasaki to go to Kaiju Sakuba, I would totally recommend also hitting up the Anata no Warehouse arcade in Kawasaki. I dragged Kevin there with me because I kind of always wanted to go. It's themed after like the old like Kowloon City, so like the interior is like really creepy. There's like a part you have to like hop over water and like stones and stuff. There's like rusted pipes and like I don't know. It's just a lot of fun. It's kind of hard to describe. It's all like, you know, like Chinese characters and neon lighting and like rusted out interiors and like, it's like walking through Blade Runner or something. Like, it's great. And then, of course, it has, like, normal arcade machines. The arcade game selection is not, like, exceptional in any way, I would say. So don't necessarily go there for that. You just go there for the kind of cool horror theme. What I did think was really funny is, like, apparently, like, the men's bathrooms are also, like, you know, horrifying, apocalyptic whatever on the inside.
It looked like somewhere you'd see a murder.
Yeah. But the ladies' rooms are, like, spotless and have, like, floral arrangements and, like, cutesy wallpaper and stuff. So, I don't know. Somebody had fun with that. But yeah, it's cool. And it's not too far from Kaiju Sakuba. It's, like, a 15-minute walk, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kind of a fun thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, we went there and spent an obscene amount of money on Symphogear crane games.
Oh,
and
that was so frustrating. We were trying to get this stuffed Symphogear figure. And it's, like, this, like, takoyaki-style, like, crane game where you have to, like, pick up balls and try to get the last one in the slot in the takoyaki machine. And it seemed really deceptively easy because it's really easy to, like, pick up the balls with the crane machine. But, like, no matter how you drop them, they do not go in the last slot without mm-hmm. the hard way.
Yeah.
But I introduced Kevin to the wonders of the Taiko arcade game, and we played some Mario Kart, so...
Oh, yeah.
It was fairly productive.
That was a load of fun. Yeah. Another arcade, we didn't make it this trip. I've been to it in the past, though, is the Joypolis, which is a Sega sort of theme park slash arcade. I know they had a Sadako tie-in this year. They also had a Sadako tie-in a previous time that I was there.
They're just always doing Sadako something.
I guess so. But, you know, they have all sorts of rides and things. You know, if you ever wanted to play, like, the Initial D driving game in a full, like, car on a pneumatic system, like, that's about as lifelike as a racing game is gonna get. That said, it was really hard for me. So yeah, I would recommend that one as well. I guess that's we haven't really talked about shopping at all.
No, which is strange because I feel like all we did was spend money on shit.
We spent so much money. the number one place you want to go to in Tokyo, I know Akihabara is something that gets all of the publicity, and it makes sense. There's a lot of cool stuff in Akihabara, like the Radio Kaikon building is a good place to go.
But never buy anything on, like, the second and third floor because it's right. overpriced.
I think that's a theme that I've seen throughout is if you go into a store, like, don't buy stuff on the bottom floor. That's where the tourists shop. You always go to, like, mm-hmm. the sixth floor or something in that building, and that's where the good stuff is.
Although Rashinban always has pretty reasonable rates, to be honest. Yeah.
Like, I've found in the sort of nerdy parts of Japan is, like, if you're in a place and it's pretty clean and spacious and everything's is well displayed.
Yeah, everything's, like, displayed nicely, like it's in a museum, then don't buy anything there.
Yeah, yeah. What you want is, like, the sort of, like, crowded, like, stuff falling over itself, like you have a shelf of, like, Kamen Rider toys for 3-year-olds, like, on one side and, like, hardcore pornography on the other side. Like, that's where you're gonna find the real deals.
Maybe escape with your virtue intact.
Maybe, but, you know, in Akiba or in Denden Town in Osaka, you never know. It can get a little dicey on that front. But the best place in Tokyo is in Nakano Broadway. So at the Nakano station, you get off and you go sort of down the shopping arcade to this huge mall that has multiple floors with multiple Mandarake stores. And you can go in and they have different theme stores. So they have one theme store that's nothing but manga and one theme store that's nothing but train toys and one theme store that's nothing but dolls. And you can go and look at, you know, the Kaiju store, their Transformers store. They have it all. There's a poster store in there. Whatever you're into, you'll find something in Nakano Broadway, and it's absolutely fantastic. A great selection of stuff. So it's all, you know, sort of vintage secondhand things. That's what we normally go for rather than the brand new figures, because, you know, the new figures you can sort of find anywhere. But same deal with old books. There's a chain here called Book Off. We have a couple Book Offs in the States as well, but Book Off in Japan is pretty incredible because there's lots and lots and lots of manga that you can get for about $1 a volume, and it's just fun to go and browse for long periods of time, and you'll invariably just find, like you do in the States, people who sit there and read an entire series in the store. Let's see. Where else did we go shopping?
Oh, I was just going to add to the Not Gonna Broadway thing. If you do go there and you like ice cream and can consume ice cream, you should definitely go to the ice cream place in the basement, because they have like 8 flavors of ice cream, and they've got like Ramade and tea flavored and like, I don't know, lots of stuff. But you can like get them all stacked on one ice cream cone, and it's outrageous, and you should try it.
Yeah, it's funny in the basement of Not Gonna Broadway, because it's not as much nerdy stuff. It's more of just a huge like grocery store. And you see all the like normal people in there that are sort of tolerating all of the weeaboos that are wandering around. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Not Gonna Broadway, because it's like, it's not as stressful of an experience as Akihabara can be, if that makes sense. Like, it's not quite as touristy as Akiba's gotten. Like, I mean, there are tourists that go there, obviously, but it's like a little more down to earth. It's not, there's not as many like blatantly overpriced things. It doesn't get quite as crowded. Like, you know, it'll still be a little crowded in some shops, but I don't know. And especially like, since it's all indoors as well, if the weather's bad, it's a great place to go if it's like rainy or something. So I don't know. To me, it's just like a great way to spend a relaxing kind of day, just browsing a whole bunch of stuff. So would recommend.
Yeah, I think it's telling, because there's a scene in SSSS.Gridman that's set in Nakano Broadway, and I think that they deliberately set it there and not in Akihabara, because that's where the real nerds go to shop.
No, don't tell people that, then they'll shop there.
Yeah, I suppose so. So yeah, in Akiba, check out the Jungle Store that's in the Radio Kaikan building. That's, I want to say, on the 8th floor or something.
But... I think it might be like the 7th floor, I want to say.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you'll find it eventually if you just keep going up.
You know, Jungle's a great chain. We've got them in LA and the States as well. But the I think my favorite one is the branch that's in Osaka in Dendentown.
Yeah, it's radical. They've got all kinds of cool t-shirts. It's where I got the Dino Tank shirt that Kevin wears occasionally to cons very proudly.
Yes.
And like at the Osaka branch too, they have a lot of t-shirts that are like Osaka themed, you know? So if there's like kaiju that have destroyed Osaka Castle, then they've got that on a t-shirt, you know? So it's kind of cool. Speaking of things that are in Radio Kaikan in Akihabara, though, I really liked going to the Ami Ami store too, which I believe is the 4th floor?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be incredibly crowded and you'll spend all your money, but it's fun.
Yeah, Ami Ami is one of the places where you can definitely get stuff tax-free if you spend more than about $50 worth.
Which is not hard.
Yeah, not at all. Like, if you've been to the Ami Ami website, you know that's the way it goes, but... Yeah, if you're a foreigner, you can get stuff tax free if you're there for, I think, a under 3 month period, basically, and you're gonna be taking your stuff out of the country. So yes, if you're buying, yes, if you're like me and you're a tourist there to go and buy souvenirs, you can, you know, in a number of stores, not everywhere, but a lot of stores are advertising that you can get stuff tax free, and you know, you just claim it when you're in customs on the way out, so, which I found isn't too bad. Hopefully I'll try it again this time, see if it's
report back to us.
Yeah, more hectic this time around, but last time it was no problem. Yeah, and you know, it's a store of the Ami Ami website, which as we all know is pretty expensive,
same.
Yes. Yeah, I had so many moments of that whole, you know, bit in Akiba Ranger is like, oh, so cheap, so expensively cheap. Similarly, in Osaka, I went to Astro Zombies and to Hirogang, and both of those places, just incredible deals. You know, I got a figure that I normally see in the States for about $400 for under $100 worth. It's good stuff. Astro Zombies, they are largely themed on like American sort of horror and science fiction type of things, but they have a number of Japanese items as well there, and you know, you can get Japanese t-shirts and, you know, figures and things of American properties that don't exist in the States, which is, you know, an interesting thing. That I bought a nice Gwenpool figure, for an example. Or you can get your Bishojo Freddy Krueger or whatever.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
So, yeah. Have we covered most of our most of the stuff we checked out now?
Oh, gosh.
It's been a real whirlwind of a trip.
Really? Man, I can't even remember what we did. I guess we didn't mention the Echo Echo Atherok exhibit.
Oh, no, we didn't. Yeah, that was cool. That was in Nakano Broadway. We just stumbled across it. There's an exhibit for Echo Echo Atherok, because I guess it's its 50th anniversary, and they had a bunch of original art on the walls. And
they just put out a novelization of the manga, and they were selling it in normal bookstores too. I saw it mm-hmm. later. I did pick up a copy. No idea if that will ever make it to the States. But,
oh, I'm sure it won't. I mean, it's 50 years and the manga's still not out yet. Like a couple of the movies came out, but they stopped bringing those out sort of when they stopped. Japanese movies don't come to the US as frequently as they used to. So there was a period in the 2000s where it was just like, okay, let's bring over everything. But alas, we're no longer there. But yeah, Echo Echo Azarak is boss. So I was excited to see that exhibit. Go check out the manga. Bought a t-shirt, bought a tote bag. Mm-hmm. got a couple of postcards and things like that. But yeah, they were basically all of the walls were plastered with the original pages from the manga, and then they had a little TV screen that was playing trailers for the various movies.
It was pretty interesting. I'd actually like never heard of it before, but it seemed really neat, so picked up the novel.
Yeah, I almost got a different T-shirt, but because of the way Echo Echo Azarak is. Main character was topless, and I figured, well, where am I going to get to wear this t-shirt with the topless
without,
manga character?
Without being harassed by feminists in the streets, yeah.
So, I mean, top 10 ways to get yourself kicked out of an anime convention.
It was a cool shirt.
Yeah.
I could probably get away with wearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, your ahigao hoodies are okay, but, you know, God forbid there be an actual nipple. So yeah, I mean that was something I was aware of. I knew it was sort of on the list to go to, but then that we happened to just stumble across it. I mean that was fantastic. I've had similar experiences in the past. Like we stumbled across an Ultraman exhibit once and just wandered right in. So always check what exhibits there are ahead of time.
Yeah, and even if you just search in English for like anime related exhibits Tokyo or something like that, you can usually find a decent amount of stuff. Obviously it works maybe a little bit better if you can search in Japanese, but you know, not entirely. You can usually find a general idea of what's going on, so
and
definitely
just
look it up.
Pay attention when you're on the subway. Like there are signs up. There was a Star Wars exhibit we thought about going to with 2 weeks just to like go around and do fun stuff. There's still more things we didn't do. So there was a Takashi Obata exhibit also that we didn't make it out to, but always cool things.
Yeah, it never stops.
So that's why I come to Japan and treat it like my giant amusement park while other of us have to go to their day jobs and do work.
Yeah, Kevin's been running around Osaka by himself while I've been at work with mixed results.
Yeah, I don't always know where I'm supposed to be going and wind up spending 3 hours going to a Don Quixote store. But yeah, been an absolute blast. Would recommend. Check for flights early if you can. We found really good deals. You know, if you're willing to make the arrangements to get your plane tickets early, you know, you can get really quite affordable tickets. So that's the other
relatively
thing.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Expect it to run you at least a grand, but
right. But you know, that's depending on how much you spend on hotels for that amount of time also, it could be a similar deal. So I got very lucky knowing Amanda and being able to not couch crash here, but something similar.
Experience the joys of living in a Japanese apartment, yeah.
Yeah. It's a little on the small side and got used to, well, different water settings and things like that. But man, the toilets here are incredible. All right. I guess on that note, I think we've covered it all.
Mostly. Yeah, I guess shout out for my favorite bookstore chain in Japan, Junkudo, Palace of Junk. Because especially there's a really good one in Shibuya near the Taco Bell that has a really excellent tokusatsu section. Would recommend. It's also a great one in Osaka in the Namba area. So everything over there will be full price because it's a regular bookstore, not like a secondhand one like Book Off. But if you want to browse, it's a great location because they're usually just like really, really huge.
Yeah, lots of photo books if you want to go and just look at pictures of things. And they do, you know, their tokusatsu books, a lot of them are not shrink-wrapped, so you can actually browse before you buy.
Great way to spend a couple hours.
Yeah. If you're in a Book Off or a Mandarake or something and you are picking up a DVD or a tape or something and you want to check it out beforehand, you know, I picked up a secondhand DVD here and it was rattling around in the case, and I just said, hey, can we open this up and make sure it's not scratched up? And they had no problems with that. So that's a nice thing about some of the secondhand places, is they're a little willing to play with you on the matters like that.
Yeah, I guess that's about all I can think of. If you can, don't come to Japan during the summer. I say to Kevin, who came to Japan during the summer.
It's very warm.
It's pretty hot. Yeah, if you come in August, it's going to be the hottest. If you come slightly before that, you'll come right during the rainy season, which you'll also regret. But I don't know. It's fun whenever. Don't listen to me. I'm just ready for fall.
Yeah, well, it's nasty. We're getting there. We're getting there soon. All right. On that note, well, I'll try to post some photos along with this podcast as visual aid, and we'll talk to you again at some point. Later.
そうだ、あれは人ではないゴジラだ。ちょっとゴジラって何なのよ。
なんであろうと倒さなければ大阪がなくなってしまうわ。こちらに高エネルギー反応確認、計測不能です。
どうなってんのよ美里。
作戦は続行。